turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul said, "Now the Spirit," and you'll notice that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul. What's the matter, Gary? First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Now that's the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul that wrote the epistle to Timothy, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanded to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Well, the thing that Paul talks about in Ephesians, go over there to Ephesians. Now, we should be able to recognize a time that Paul is talking about in the latter times. So if you started in Genesis to Malachi, you can't find these latter times that Paul's talking about back there. They're not going to be there. You won't find them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ told them in Matthew 24, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Well, the end that Jesus Christ is talking about is at the end of the tribulation, when the Antichrist will be revealed after the rapture of the church. The 7-year tribulation for Israel, it's a time of Jacob's trouble. Paul wrote Romans to Philemon, to the church, the body of Christ, rightly divided with the Hebrew epistles. Hebrews through Revelation is written to the tribulation saints. So the latter times that Paul is involved in and talking about is the latter times of this dispensation that we now live in, and it's called the dispensation of the grace of God. Not just the gospel of Christ, it has to do with a mystery of the gospel. And in the last days of this dispensation, that is called the dispensation of the grace of God, which was committed to Paul in Acts 18 when he was in the temple. He was given this dispensation that he used to go to Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise, such as of Gentiles that are in the world today. Now, he said in these latter times, so I'm interested in how to recognize the latter days of this dispensation that we're in. We can see an end of Israel. We can see where Israel stumbled and they failed and they were finally cast away. Now, we should be able to recognize not the very day that the end of the dispensation that we live in will take place, but we should be able to recognize the times that are in the latter part of this dispensation. Now, and he told us about these things in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 there. Now, Ephesians chapter 6. Go to verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Well, we're going to have to put on the might of Jesus Christ, if you let me use that terminology, the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ in these latter times that people are departing from the faith. There are seducing spirits out there that are seducing people. They are teaching false doctrines today. They're teaching things that Paul is warning us about. And he warns Timothy to commit these things to faithful men that'll be able to teach faithful men. And I believe God will have somebody teaching the positive truth. When I say positive truth, I'm talking about the right division of Paul's epistles. I believe the Lord will have somebody that will be teaching that regardless of whether we do or not. There will be somebody that's going to carry the mantle, so to speak, until the rapture of the church. God is not going to leave people here without the truth. He's going to get truth to people, and if people want the truth, they can go to where it is at. Now, but the problem is, people are turning from the truth, turning to fables, endless genealogies, and all kinds of things because of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, these doctrines of devils, they're not in the barroom, they're in the church house. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And y'all know what the Lord told Paul. Well, I tell you what, do hold your place here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul has been given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Lest he, and look at verse 7. And least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, when Paul wrote this epistle, it is not time to tell the world that he's going to Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise, and to keep his mouth shut, if you let me use that terminology. Satan is buffeting him every time it comes into his mind that he wants to tell this thing, because it's not time yet. Israel is still on the scene. They have not become Lo-Amni yet. And so, Paul, it's not time. Now, watch what Paul does here about this messenger of Satan. Verse 8, for this thing, this thorn, this messenger from the Satan, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, the Lord he's talking about, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, we may get weak, we may get faint-hearted, we may get scared to death, but our strength will come from the Lord if we'll do what He said. Now, let's go to verse 11, Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now that word wiles there, according to the English dictionary, has to do with being drawn from something. Example, hold your place and go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Well, Satan uses another gospel to draw people away. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. The wiles of the devil, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, you can't get into this spiritual warfare with just partial armor. You have got to have the whole armor of God. Why? That we may be able to stand, not fall down, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And y'all know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So we know where Satan's working at. He's working in the religious system. It's called the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, that's already working when Paul wrote the Thessalonian letter. And he tells us in the latter times it's going to get worse and worse and worse. People are deceiving and being deceived. Now, this thing about the wiles of the devil there. Satan is a deceiver. Let me show you something. Go to Revelations, hold Ephesians. Go to Revelations chapter 9. Revelations chapter 9. Now this is the angels are sounding out some things here. There's seven angels in the book of Revelation. And look at verse he's talking about the shapes of some things here, breaking into the context. Verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Well, that Hebrew tongue, Abaddon, means destruction. That Greek Apollyon is destroyer. So that is Satan's job. That is what he is doing. He is destroying people. He is removing people from the gospel that Paul preached by another gospel, which Paul said there is not another. There ain't but one gospel in Romans to Philemon, and Satan brings in another gospel in here. His ministers, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, they bring in another gospel, and they remove people from the gospel of Christ. Now, an example of this destroyer back here in the Revelations. Whole Revelations and go to Isaiah and take Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And if you will, I'm going to have to do a little bit of reading here. We'll start in verse 4. And the Lord's talking to Isaiah. He's talking to Israel. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. Well, that won't happen until in the tribulation over there, around that Revelation 17 and all, around in there. Verse 5, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, he who smote the people in wrath with continual stroke, He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Well, we know that when Paul said in the latter days, the things that's going to take place here, so what you're reading in Isaiah 14 cannot be in our time. It has to be after the end of the tribulation, after the golden city is ceased. Now, verse 8. Yea, the fir tree rejoiceth at thee, the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Well, up until this time over here, at the end over here of the tribulation, they said there ain't nobody able to fight against this Antichrist here with the power he's got. You'll find that in the book of Revelations. And, beloved, the world's being brought forth to that right now, to that attitude. Verse 9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows. The worm is spread unto thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the snake that made the earth to tremble? No, it didn't say no snake. You see, people got in their crazy mind that a snake back there in the Garden of Eden hissed to Eve and deceived Eve. That's a man back there. You can find him in Ezekiel 28. He's created in perfect beauty. Every precious stone was his covering. He was most beautiful. Let's read that verse like it says here now. In verse 16, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness? Now watch it. And destroyed the cities thereof. As we read there in Revelation 9, verse 11, in the Greek, his name is Apollyon, which is destroyer. Both of those words, go back to Revelation chapter 9. Both of those words in verse 11 have to do with destruction, has to do with destroying. Well, how does he do this? Go to chapter 19. I believe it is. Give me a minute. Revelation. Well, I'll tell you what, go to chapter 13. Let's do it there. Let's go to chapter 13. Chapter 13, let's see what he has the power to do. See, we got to put on the whole armor of God because Satan has much power. And these people on TV that you see binding Satan in people, they ain't got the power to bind Satan. Only God Almighty has that power. Now, in chapter 13, and I stood upon, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet was like unto the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. Well, this dragon, you know who he is, don't you? Before we go too far, let's identify this dragon. Go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Let's identify this dragon, this man that we read about in Isaiah 14. Verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He is cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Go back to chapter 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet was as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Well, beloved, you know who the god of this world is today? It's Satan. God that created the heaven and the earth has gone out of the universe. He is above all heavens, and he's turned this thing over to mankind, and mankind's got it going right down the tube, and they about ready to inaugurate the devil, if that's a good term. They're about ready to embrace him. What are people doing it all the time?
I'm probably there already. You make a fool.
Yeah.
Obama.
Well, look at verse 3. Well, by the way, before I leave verse 2, does Satan have authority?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you know what that ought to answer for us? And I know I'm jumping around a little bit here, but listen, this helps answer questions that people have in their mind. Hold what you got there and go back to Matthew and take Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Y'all know the parables of Satan taking the Lord out into showing him the kingdoms of this world and all the moment of time. And he said, all this power will I give thee. It's been delivered unto me. And you go back and study old Job, and God told Satan, said, you can have everything he's got, but you can't have his life. Good example over here in the tribulation. Now, Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, I know, according to Revelation 13, that Jesus Christ hadn't assumed all power yet. You understand? Who's in power? Go back to Revelation 13. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw, and he names this beast, the last part of the verse, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Well, according to Satan, what we read in Isaiah 14, where is Satan's seat at? He's seated above God. In his mind, he's higher than God. Well, that's the way people are today. When you try to show the truth to them, they say, well, my denomination preaches this, and my denomination says that. Well, I don't care what that book says. I believe what my preacher says. He's been to this seminar, he's got this doctorate degree, he's got this, he's called a doctor now, a doctor of theology. Well, he ought to get him a 1611 King James Bible and take his doctorate degree and put it in the fireplace and burn it and pay attention to what God said. Now, back to Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads. You remember, he's got seven heads now. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. I can see Benny Hinn. All the world is wondering after old Benny Hinn because they see him fake some kind of healing on some old person that's got one foot on the nanner peel and the other in the grave already, and he takes their crutches away from them, gets them up out of a wheelchair or something, and yet he can't heal his own self. He's a dying man. As sure as he's living, he's dying, and he can't even stop his own death. Now, do y'all know something about verse 3 there? Let me show you something about that. You want to know who Judas Iscariot is? Go to Matthew 10, Acts 1, whole Revelation. Now listen, I know what the devil uses against people. He uses denominational systems, and he uses the truth of God against his people today because they refuse to rightly divide. They refuse to follow the Apostle Paul. Therefore, they get themselves in back up in the corner, and they don't know what to do with it. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ names his 12 apostles here. Verse 5, and these 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Any city of Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there ain't a denominational church in the world that believes that. They believe the apostles were sent to Gentiles. Jesus Christ said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse a leper, raise the dead. Now, you want to know who these apostles are? Go back to verse 2. And the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. John, his brother. Philip, Bartholomew. Thomas, Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus. Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Judas was as the Satan in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Judas was a subtle person. He deals underhanded. He's a follower of the Lord. He's a kissing the Lord, and the whole time he's got a knife and he's jabbing it in his back. He's stabbing him in the back, so
would
to speak.
That be so like Cain?
Sort of, you could say that. But Cain had a religious problem. Cain did. Now, go to verse 8. Did these 12 have the power to heal? Alright, go to John and take John chapter 17. Now, he's talking in John 17. Jesus Christ is praying. And he's talking to the Father. Verse 12, while I was with them, these 12 apostles, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Go to chapter 6. Chapter 6. Talking about Judas Iscariot now. The son of perdition. In John chapter 6, verse 66, watch the number 666. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Judas is still there, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? thou hast the words of eternal life. Well, beloved, you can't find nowhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John that Jesus Christ said that he was going up to Calvary and die for their sins. He told them that he was going up there to die, be buried. He would go down to the heart of the earth. He would be down there 3 days and three nights, but God would raise him again the third day. But he did not tell them why he was dying. Nobody knew that until it was committed to the Apostle Paul. Now watch what Jesus says here. Verse 69. And we believe, the apostles here, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, beloved, that's the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ asked Peter, he said, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The same thing that the eunuch in Acts chapter 8 testified to. The same thing they testify to in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John over here. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, John chapter 7, verse 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is what? A devil. Not the devil, but a devil. He has the spirit of Satan in him. The spirit that now, according to Ephesians chapter 2, go there. This is why we got to put on the armor of God, that we can recognize these things. If you can't recognize them, don't get into battle. You know, and I often think about the Korean War in Vietnam and what them boys is going through over there in them sand hills and all over there. How you going to recognize the enemy? Well, the only way you can recognize him if he's shooting at you. You can't look at him. The North Koreans look just like the South Koreans. The people in Saudi Arabia look just like the other people, ragheads. They all dress the same. They all live in sand and hills and mountains. But how can we recognize Satan today? By the words out of people's mouth. Now, watch what he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Wow, ain't that something? And watch verse 3. Among whom also we all, both groups of people, those who first trusted, in whom you also trusted, Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, thank God for the Paul's but God's in the Bible. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are we saved by grace? Well, I ain't saved by my works, am I? And I'm not saved by the law. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, had there been a law given which could have given the eternal life of righteousness, he said, life should have been by the law. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 13. The wiles of the devil. Verse 3 again. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. Well, don't you know if you walk down the road down there and you saw some dead body laying down in the street there, and there ain't no life in it. You check the pulse and there ain't none. There ain't no breath of air. The lungs ain't operating. And then somebody comes along and zaps him and he stands up. Don't you know that would fascinate you? Don't you know that you would say, well, boy, this has got to be God. It's got to be the Savior. Well, that's what the world's being made ready for now. Verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Can anybody stop him?
No,
they can't. You can't kill him. You can't shoot him with a shotgun and kill him. He's got power from God Almighty, and it's promised to him from Isaiah and the other chapters back there in the Old Testament, Isaiah 10:5 especially. Old Assyrian, the rod of mine indignation. The staff in their hand is mine indignation. In other words, God's going to send him against a hypocritical body? No, a hypocritical nation. Send him against Israel, a nation, backsliders, stiff-necked, hard-hearted. God calls them all kind of names. He's going to send the Antichrist against Israel, but we're withholding that rascal from being revealed. And in the last times of this dispensation that we live in, we can recognize that these days are getting close. Not that we walk by sight or anything, we walk by faith, but we can read scripture and put 2 and 2 together. I know 2 and 2 is 4, and I can add a little bit up to a point to about 20, and then I get all confused after that. But anyway, I can read scripture and recognize the end of this dispensation. It's got to be pretty close. It's got to be close. And I'll be glad when it ends so we can get out of here. The Lord take us out of this world. And I've heard people say, well, I don't want to leave this world. I want to get somebody else saved. Well, blood, we ain't going till everybody's saved that God foreknew. He's going to leave somebody here with the gospel of Christ, with the truth, to preach the truth to people. So the last person can't. Just think about something. Think about the Apostle Paul. When Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, what if the Lord would have said, that's it, Paul, I'm carrying you out of this filthy world. Who else would have got saved? Wouldn't nobody else even have known about it. Peter and them didn't know about it. Now, Revelation 13, verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, if you will, go back and take Ephesians chapter 6.
What is God going to give him power?
Well, I tell you what, Duke, before we go back to Ephesians, let's do something else in Revelation while we're over here. Go to chapter 14. Go to Revelation 14. And I'm just going to break into the context. Listen, we don't have time in just an hour here to go through all of this, but sometime or another we'll go back and touch some of these other things. But for what we're doing here tonight, look at verse 9, Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Beloved, that's the commandments that they have to keep over there. And you can find them in Hebrews through Revelation. You can find them back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But you don't find them in Romans to Philemon. We are in His faith. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we're talking about the wiles of the devil. And he's a deceiver. He's an underhanded person. And I'll tell you what, hold Ephesians and go to 2 Timothy. Let's do it there. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's do something before I forget to do it tonight here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Talking about these perilous times that somebody's going to be faced with, and I believe we can see them now that we're being faced with them. People will come to class sometimes, and they get bored of hearing the same thing over and over about Paul this and Paul that and Paul this and Paul that. Well, ain't we supposed to exalt our apostle? And the only way we can exalt the Lord Jesus Christ today is through the Apostle Paul, Romans to Philemon. You can't exalt the Lord and get glory and honor to God by preaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That won't get honor to God. You can't get honor and glory to God by preaching Hebrews through Revelation for doctrine today. Now, we preach the whole Bible, the whole counsel of God. It's profitable. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, Romans to Philemon, Genesis to Malachi, Hebrews through Revelation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, every bit of it is inspired of God, and every bit of it is profitable for doctrine. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Teach what? What is Paul warning Timothy to teach? Hold what you got there and go to chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. You're holding 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge. He didn't say suggest. He said charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Well, I've heard grace preachers allow people in their pulpit to preach another gospel and not even rebuke them about it. Not even get up and straighten the mess out. And that is wrong. Paul said in Titus to rebuke them sharply, that they be sound in the faith. And people are scared to do it. I had a friend of mine, he come to my class twice. Told me he wouldn't come back no more. Because I talk bad about people's religions. Well, I'm sorry for him. And he was raised in a grace church all his life.
You don't believe what I read today. Read a little short note on today's date in the book, a little keep up book. It said, takes courage to stand up against your enemies, but more courage to stand up against your friends.
Ain't that the truth? That's a lot of wisdom in that. And all right, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance for the remission of their sins. No, it don't say that. Don't put it in that. You see, people say, well, Paul uses the word repentance. Well, sure he uses the word repentance, but he don't use it for repenting of your sins. Look what he said, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. What have they done? They have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they've been taken captive by Satan at his will. Why? Because they won't get in the book and study and find out and get grounded on the truth. The first thing you find in Ephesians chapter 6 is the truth. The truth. We're going to see that in just a second. Now, verse 26. Well, I apologize. I can't leave verse 25 open like that. Let's go back to verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Well, what is the truth? The last days, you better be on the armor of God, because there's devils out there and they'll deceive you. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul to warn the young preacher Timothy. Now, verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at their will. No. At his will. Do you know how his will is? It's real subtlety. Let me show you a case of it. Hold Ephesians 6. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. You'll have Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, and back up to the left. You'll have Isaiah, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes, and Isaiah going back toward the front. If you got Psalms, come to the right. Proverbs chapter 7. And I can see a religious system in this thing. You see, there's two women in the book of Proverbs, one a good one and one another a bad one. And you need to recognize which one is which, because it has to do with a mystery of iniquity. Now, verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at my window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones, this is one without the wisdom here, beloved, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle in heart, underhanded, subtle. It means undermining. In other words, verse 11, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the street, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she called him and kissed him, and with an impotent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows, and I can hear them. Oh, we love you. Come on in and join our crowd. We'll hug you and we'll kiss you and we love you. Don't go over yonder to that class over there. They're dead. They're just wallflowers. They don't sing. They don't take up an offering. They don't do nothing. They just have a Bible study. But we love you. Come on in here. God loves you and we love you. I can hear them now. Yeah, they lying to them the whole time they're there. Now, verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee, and diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. In other words, she found this boy here ain't got no wisdom of God and no knowledge. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Boy, she smells real good. But watch out for that wicked heart. Verse 18, come let us take our fill of love till the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. Well, we love you. For the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. You know who that's referenced to. You can find him in Mark chapter 13. The Son of Man is a man taking a journey. He's gone. He's coming back again someday over here, and you better be a-watching. You better be knowing this day over here. He told them in the book of Luke, he said, when you see all these things come in the past, look up, your redemption, not my redemption, not the body of Christ, but Israel's redemption. He said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. We are already redeemed in the church, the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:7. Now, for time's sake, come to verse 20. Well, I can't quit. Go to verse 19. And the good man is not home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at a day appointed. Well, he'll come home at the second coming over there, as he promised them. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasten to the snare, and not knoweth that is it is, excuse me, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Mister of iniquity, don't give a flip about your eternal life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. And you can find that in Revelation chapter 18, verse 24. All that are killed have been killed by this religious system. Verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And I suspect when we read in Isaiah 14, those that saw the devil coming down there said, have you become weak as we? I can see these simple-minded fools that went down in the heart of earth believing that they were the only ones that knew how to get to God, and most of them are trying to go through by idolatry worship, and you won't never make it. It's going to burn in hell someday. Go to Proverbs 2. Yeah, we get wisdom out of the whole Bible. Yeah. I mean, it's all good, profitable for doctrine, ain't it? For reproof, for correction, okay. Instruction in righteousness. Yeah. But not doctrinally. There's a difference. Teach no other doctrine. Yeah. Now, in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Well, that simple one in chapter 7 didn't have this. He was lacking this. So the man today that don't put on the armor of God, he ain't going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's going to be taken captive by him at his will. Now watch what he says here. Verse 11. destruction and shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. I can see them right now. They've come to class. They hear the truth. They know there's something different. They can see that there's something wrong where they're going to church, but because mom and daddy went there, they say, well, if it was good enough for my mom and daddy, y'all know the old saying, I was born a Baptist and I'll die a Baptist. Well, you better get saved. You better trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and whatever you call yourself, I don't care. Baptist, Catholic, or what, it don't make no difference. Call yourself a Jehovah's Witness, but what you got to do is to believe that Jesus Christ died for you and paid for your sins. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say join a religious system. Furthermore, he said, come out from among them. Even in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ tells his people to come out from among her, this whore, this we read about in Proverbs here. Come out from among her that you receive not of her plagues. Now, in Proverbs 2, verse 14, who rejoice to do evil, delight in the foreignness of the wicked. And you know what I think about right there? I think about this man that Brother Moore and myself were talking to up at camp. We was up there at Meridian, Mississippi, up there at David Harper and them's camp. We was camped out up there, Nanabe Campground. And there was a young man there. He was an ex-Catholic, he said. He had gotten saved, and he was telling us some of the things. We was asking him about different things that the Catholics had to do and all. And we asked him the question about, well, what about confession? He said, well, I'll tell you what they tell me. He said, I'd go to confession and confess a sin, and that thing on the other side of that curtain over yonder, whatever it was or whatever he called it, he said he would tell me, he said, blessed art thou, son, for thou hast sinned. And he said that hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, there's something wrong with that. But the boy had gotten saved and was in, and I don't even remember whose class of church he was in at that particular time, and I don't know if I've ever seen him since. That's the only time I ever saw that young man. Now, in Proverbs 2, verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths to deliver thee from the strange woman. In other words, wisdom and knowledge, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go on unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Boy, their mind is seared with a hot iron. Very rare do you get any out. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall not root. Excuse me, shall be rooted out of it. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Put on that verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see, our warfare is not against the people that is being deceived. It's against the system that's deceiving them. Our warfare is not against our friends and loved ones and our neighbors. Our warfare is against principalities and powers. Look what he says here, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Well, beloved, if our warfare is against powers, it can't be that God has taken power to himself yet, because our warfare wouldn't be against God and his power. Our warfare would be in agreement with his power. So Jesus Christ has not assumed all power yet. And these Baptists by the millions believe that we're carrying on the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28, and we ain't. Jesus Christ has not assumed all power yet, and he won't do until Revelations 11:15, after the seventh angel has sounded out with the wrath of God. Then the Lord takes the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And he won't do that until after the last angel has poured out his wrath on this world. I don't know. I'm telling you what, I wish I knew how to do it better, but I just don't know how. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to zap Satan in the evil day. No, he didn't say that. He dead blame idiots. I watch them on television. They walk up to somebody and they got a couple men back there behind them, and they lay their hands on their head and they said, I bind Satan in you. Satan, come out of this person. And they fall over back and put on some kind of sideshow. They look like a ought to be in a circus somewhere. They ain't got no more power to bind Satan than I got power to make my finger grow back. Let's get through with this. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Well, beloved, we're in the evil day now. I'm not waiting on an evil day to come. Paul said it was already started in his day. And if it was started in Paul's day, how much worse is God in our day? And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Well, if you don't put on the whole armor of God, you can't stand. And you know what I think about David, King David. Well, before he became King David, little old strapping sheep herder. And there's that big old giant Goliath out there. And Saul tried to put his armor on little old David there. And you know what David told him? I haven't proved that stuff yet. He had a sling, and he picked up five stones, I believe it is, five smooth stones. He had proved them. He done told him, he said, I killed a bear that and a lion or whatever that got some of his sheep. He said, there's a cause I can go out there. He said, that thing has defiled the armors of God. But he wouldn't take Saul's armor. He said, I ain't proved that stuff. But why do we put on the armor of God? We can prove to people, if they would believe this King James Bible, what dispensation they now live in. But if you don't put on the whole armor of God, you're just treading water. I get out in that swimming pool out there sometimes, and I don't swim. My joints don't let my arms flop hard enough. I just sit out there and dog paddle a little bit and tread water and just enjoy the cool water. But you have to put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand. And if you ain't got the armor of God on and get in the battle, Satan's going to knock you down. I can imagine little old David going out there with Saul's armor on, and I doubt the little old strapping young lad, I doubt very seriously if he'd have made it out there with all that heavy armor on. But he had that sling, and he killed Goliath. Hit him in the forehead, and that stone sunk in his forehead and killed him. And David went up there and got on him and took that Philistine's sword and chopped his head off with it. He proved that slain. So you've got to put on the armor of God that you can prove that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't put on somebody else's armor. Put your own armor on. Don't say, well, you know, my preacher says this, and I'm going to believe my preacher, because I went in his office, and boy, he's got credentials hanging up. I had a person ask me one time, said, what college have you been to? You got any degrees? I hardly made it out of high school. I said, the only reason I got out of high school, they were tired of fooling with me. They let me. I'd fit in real good today. I'd get a certificate of attendance. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. In other words, the first thing you got to put on for the armor of God is truth. And I think about John, Jesus Christ, in the book of John. Who was it that asked him? Well, I'll tell you what, dude, I brought it up. Look at John 18. I like this. John chapter 18, verse 33. And Jesus is being questioned. He's being tried. Verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou these things of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And I don't believe he's really saying he's born to be a king. I believe he's saying he was born to die, that this he's fixing to be crucified. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? Well, you know what the truth is in his day? Thou art the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the truth there. Well, what is the truth today that we got to put on? That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto it, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.